Hey everyone, I'm Devin.
And I'm Asia, and we're your hosts, and this is the latest episode of On Their Behalf.
So I was telling Asia right before we started recording that the other day I had a terrible, terrible tarot card reading. And like, so me and my friends at every new moon, we'll Zoom with each other and sort of do these tarot card readings. And my one friend is like more, you know, experienced with this, so she'll sort of tell us the configuration and like what everything means. But we'll like when we pull each card, we'll Google what they mean and like read it out loud to each other and then kind of reflect on like what that brings up for us. So it's really just like reflecting, and then like the cards might help you like sort of channel like kind of and define what you're feeling. But I got so my first card that I drew was like all positive, happy, like your dreams are coming true, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be great. And then the next card I got was the Five of Swords, which basically is like, get ready for confrontation, get ready to say that you're wrong, get ready because you're gonna be the victim of crime and probably rape and murder.
Oh my god!
And it kept saying that, and I was like, I don't
like that anymore.
What do I do?
Don't look at them anymore. Don't do it anymore.
I'm going to keep doing it. but I was like, what? So my dreams are going to come true, but like before or after I'm murdered, you know? And then like the final card I got was like, your dreams will come true if you work hard. But I'm like, but where does the murder factor in? Like,
oh my god, no, I don't want to do it.
I know,
because you were just asking.
I know,
me if
I was just asking
if
you wanted to do
it.
Here's the thing. That was like on one website that's what the Five of Swords said, and then I looked up a bunch of other websites, and none of them said murder on it.
Okay,
they all were just like, there's going to be some conflict, and like you might be wrong, so learn to like accept that you could be wrong.
You know, that makes me like the tarot card thing. I've never done it before or, like, had, like, a psychic reading or anything. But that reminds me of, like, the horoscope type thing where, like, you read your horoscope and it's, like, one website says, like, today you're going to have a prosperous day and you're going to, you know, have the best day ever. And then one other website is, like, no, you're going to die today. Mm-hmm. And you're, like, well, which one is it, you know? So, like, I'm, like, I'd rather just not know. To be honest.
Yeah. It's like, for me, like I was saying, like, it feels like a guide to sort of channel, like, my journaling and self-reflection. And, like, sometimes there's, like, future stuff, but, like, I've never gotten, like, a future one that's right. Actually, maybe a little bit. Oh! What if the murder's talking about the podcast?
Oh.
I'm gonna go with that one.
Okay. Yeah.
I like
Good.
That.
Yeah,
because if it wasn't about murder, it's still about me getting in a fight with somebody, and I want to get in a fight with people.
Yeah.
Actually, I like fighting, but you know.
Actually, yeah, I'll take a fight here and there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of murder, I have a case today.
Speaking of murder.
Speaking of murder. So this week, I'm going to tell Asia the story of Samira Frash. All right, so Samira's last name is Frash, which is spelled F-R-A-S-C-H. So I actually have no idea how to say it, but I'm going to say Frash.
Frash.
If I'm wrong, let me know. It could be like Frask. Yeah. It could be Frash. It could be Frosh.
I kind of like Frash, but, you know.
Yeah, but there's no E at the end of it, you know? Frash.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's from or anything. Okay, anyways, let me tell you.
Yeah.
All right. So on around 11 a.m. on the morning of February 22nd, 2014, A handyman named Gerald Gardner came to his client's house to do some work and noticed something kind of off. Their little dog, a little white Bichon Frise, was running around the backyard, like, barking. And this is in Tallahassee, Florida. So the backyard is, like, 90% pool.
Pool? But
yeah, like, it's just, like, the whole backyard is, like, mostly a pool. Oh, okay. And there's, like, a little bit of, like, a barbecue area, but it's, like, most... Mm-hmm. It's a big backyard, but it's mostly a pool. But the dog was, like, not allowed to be out there. And he, like, Gerald had been working for this family, the Frash family, for years. And so he knew, like, the rules. So seeing the dog out there, he was like, oh, this is, something's weird. And then he noticed, like, the back door from the master bathroom outside was, like, propped open. And he was like, oh, that's how she must have gotten out, because she's supposed to be inside. But then he... As he, like, went
and
to go
no
grab...
one's home, right? Like, he can't no, tell that there's anybody home?
No, okay. he like, walked in the gate. He didn't go through the house or anything, but he just walked back. Like, you know how, like, your pool guy will, like, go to the backyard?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't and have not, a like, pool guy.
Me either. But, like, I know what you mean. Like, the, he just...
But he wouldn't, was there
he wouldn't
the
have
time.
Walked... Yeah, he wouldn't have, like, knocked on the door or walked through the front door. He would have just went to the side.
Right. So nobody let him in. He let himself in.
Yeah.
Or through the side. So as he was, like, trying to grab the dog, he noticed, he saw, like, a sandal in the pool and noticed that, like, there was a hose that was sort of connected to the house, but it was trailed along and dipped down into the pool. And then they kept going and there was a sandal stuck underneath it. And it was, like, a woman's sandal with, like, the toe loop. So it wasn't, like, a flip-flop. Oh, okay. It was, like, one that, like,
your
a little
big
bit
toe
more
goes
secure.
Into that loop.
Yes, exactly. So it was more secure, and normally, like, that doesn't, like, fall off your foot. Was, like,
yeah.
And that sandal was trapped under the hose. And then he, like, looked a little further, because, again, it's, like, kind of a big pool with, like, a darker bottom. So it was a little, like, a little harder to see. And saw the other sandal, like, at the shallow end of the pool. And he's like, oh, that must be Samira's, who's the wife of, you know, the house. But, like, you know, if you saw shoes in the pool, you'd be like, oh, weird, like, gross.
Yeah.
So he went to, like, he went to get, like, the little pool skimmer thing to get it out. But as he was, like, walking towards the deep end, he noticed Samira's body underwater on her back, like, totally submerged, naked except for a leopard print robe tied around her waist.
Tied around her waist? Like, the arms were tied around her waist?
No. Like, how you wear a robe. But, like, that's the only reason it didn't float away. You know?
Okay.
So it wasn't, like, a loose thing.
I don't know why I thought, like, you know, like, you tie a sweatshirt around your waist?
Yeah.
That's what that's what I, like, pictured when you said it was tied around her waist. And I'm like, really? Who does that?
No,
but,
my understanding is that it was sort of like, it had sort of floated away, like, a little away, except for, like, like, it fell off the shoulder a little bit.
And then the tie around the front just was
and
still,
her,
okay.
You know, employee found her that way. So Samira Frash was born December 12th, 1975 in Antsohihi, Madagascar. She was charming. She loved music and traveling, and she worked as a singer and a model, and she just was, like, super ambitious. I don't know how old she was, but at some point she moved from Madagascar to France and became a French citizen and was working as a model with, like, one of the big agencies, and she would do, like, Paris Fashion Week every year. Like, she was just absolutely beautiful, living the sort of jet set life that she always wanted. She loved, you know, glamour and opulence, and was rarely seen without her hair and makeup done. And she was also incredibly smart. She spoke 5 different languages and studied math at the Université Paris Sud, which is the University of, like, South Paris.
Yeah.
And in 2006, while she was living in Paris, Samira met a dashing American doctor named Adam Frasch, and the two quickly fell in love. Adam and Samira got married in Las Vegas in 2009, and in 2010, they moved to Tallahassee. They loved living, like, a lavish lifestyle, and, like, all the photos that I saw of them was, like, very kind of, like, Real Housewives-y. Like, there were so many, like pseudo paparazzi shots at big parties, and, like, her leaning on cars, and, like, her modeling portfolio that was, like, very kind of early 2000s. And in my opinion, sort of, like, questionable taste level, like, everything was, like, red and leopard print with, like, gold and, you know, mirrors everywhere. Like, and the pictures of their house is, like, no inch left untouched. There's a, they had two daughters, Hyra and Skyna. And she, Samira.
Those are very interesting names.
They must be, like, Madagascarian or something. Yeah. Because her maiden name, I can't even pronounce it. Yeah. And it feels very, like, very specific. So it's not like a, like, you know how, like, Nigerian names you can kind of recognize, like, their alphabet patterns. Yeah. And, like, Indian names you can recognize. And Madagascar seems, like, sort of insular in, like, the way that they... Yeah. Based on my very limited exposure. I don't even know what the language is called, so.
Yeah.
But Samira did a bunch of, like, pregnancy, maternity photo shoots, and she, like, would wear, like, there's one where she's, like, in this, like, silk red robe with that's, like, tied, but, like, her whole belly is out, but she has this, like, gold belly chain on, and then, like,
what?
Another one. Just, like, just a flashy lady, and her husband was, like, super into it too. Like, there's photos of one of the daughters, like, second birthdays, and there's literally like a 5-foot cake that's, like, pink and gold, and they're, like, posing with their daughter by the cake.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Samira actually was, like, had her heart set on, like, making her daughters celebrities, so she, like, made, like, you know, social media pages for them, everything. I don't know, probably Instagram, 2011, 2012, yeah. So she was, like, that kind of lady. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they had money, but, like, as Countess Luann says, money doesn't buy you class.
Yeah.
No, that's really mean. That's really mean. But, you know, that's why it's, like, kind of Real Housewives-y. It's, like, Florida glam. So you can imagine what that means.
Yeah.
And I do want to point out...
I feel like she probably would have been a part of a show like...
Oh, absolutely.
Florida's Housewives or whatever. She would have been on it.
Like Real Housewives of Tallahassee. I don't know if I would watch that. Maybe. I'd watch Miami.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I don't know anything about Tallahassee, you know?
Me either. No.
I know it's the capital.
I've never been.
Me neither. And I will... Like, her husband Adam is like 6-something, bigger, like, strong guy. He's a doctor, and he's a white guy, and Samira was a black woman. So I just want to point that out. So Adam would buy Samira whatever she wanted and would get her, like, first-class tickets wherever she wanted to go, you know, shopping sprees, whatever car she wanted. And Samira herself was rarely seen without, like, tons of jewelry and, like, fur and, you know, those, like, glasses that everybody had in 2012.
Yeah.
But on the morning of February 22nd, that all changed. So after finding Samira's body, Gerald, the handyman, called the police, but refused to, like, jump in and see if he was okay. And he told the police that he was scared to get his DNA on her body. Which... Ooh. The police were like, that's weird. Maybe he had something to do with it. But for me, I'm like, no, don't touch a body. You know?
Yeah, like, I mean, I get it.
It's weird to, like, say it to
the police. Think that, like, if that was his intention to not put DNA on her body, it would have been smart to not say that and just be like, I was afraid to touch her or whatever. Like, why be that specific of...
Yeah.
Like, if I was a police officer, I'd be like, that's weird.
Right.
But if he would have just said, I was just afraid to touch her body...
Yes.
I would have just wrote it off as like, wow, I would be afraid to touch a body too, but not be afraid to not put DNA on her.
Right. It's like thinking about himself versus like this woman that he's known for years, whose body is lying there.
Yeah. I think that me personally, I probably would have gotten in and got her because like, who knows, she could be alive.
Yes, exactly. So that was the other thing that when like, you know, however long, a minute or so later when the police came, because it was a rich area, they came right away, they pulled her out, and the paramedics said, she tried to give her CPR, because they were like, she could have been only in the pool for 2 minutes at that point. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But with, like, Gerald saying that, and then, like, looking at the way that her shoes were, and the fact that, like, those kind of shoes would be hard to get off, to fall off, you know, they immediately suspected foul play. So they kind of detained Gerald to ask him questions. And obviously he's freaking out and everything. But basically he immediately was like, Stamira and her husband Adam are going through a divorce. Like, you know, basically pointing the finger at Adam.
At the husband.
At the husband. Which is like... Yeah.
Yeah.
So they look into it. The police look into it, and they realize that, like, Stamira is supposed to have the kids that day. But there's no kids in the house. It's just, like, the house is empty except for Stamira now. So they go and they find Adam, who is staying at, like, a rental house not too far away, to A, like, tell him the news, and then B, like, kind of, like, suss out what's going on. So they find him over there, and as they like drive up, he's packing this big like Yukon full of like suitcases, and his two daughters are like in their car seats in the car. So he's like about to go on a trip when the police show up.
How did they know that she was supposed to have the kids that day?
I couldn't find the specifics. This case is not one, like, there's no Wikipedia page for it. There's no, there's not, like, a, you know, like, a full comprehensive thing. So I'm piecing together kind of local news sources about it. So there's some things like that where it's, like, I don't know, but they somehow knew.
Yeah. I mean, we're always going to run into that with these cases because, obviously, the reason we're telling them these stories or these cases is because they were underreported.
Right.
So it's always going to be difficult. But I just didn't know if they, like, got that information from him or from, like,
the cool guy. It sounds like they... I don't know. Honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, as soon as they showed up and whatever, Adam is like, oh, hey, like, what's going on? You know, like, pretending like it's fine. And then they are like, sir, can we, like, go inside and sit down? And Adam goes, is Stamira dead?
Oh, my God.
So all you're right, dude, make this, like, a little bit harder, please.
Yeah.
My God. Like, if you're going to do that, like, just turn yourself in.
Yeah, you know? Like, what are you doing? Like, not that I want him to get away with it, but, like,
no,
that
know.
Was the dumbest thing he could have said.
I know. But, it's, like, so stupid. So, immediately, obviously, they take him in for questioning, and he basically tells them, I don't know where the girls go. Like, if you take your dad in and your mom has been found dead, like, where do you go? I don't know. But Adam told the police basically that he and Stamira had actually called off the divorce and were reconciling. And, the previous night, like, they were together, but Stamira had gotten drunk and sort of out of control, as she had a tendency to do, and started like yelling at Adam and attacking him. So he left. He was like, I'm not dealing with this. Or he went to bed rather, but got up early in the morning to like take the kids to give her like a mommy's day off because she was like all riled up. But he was worried because he had seen the loose hose that she was drunk and slipped and fell into the pool. And I'm like, do you think you're like planting this idea in their head? Like,
yeah, that's just
like, okay. If you're gonna cover your tracks, like,
Do it better.
Do it better, but also don't like plant the idea in their head and try to like get ahead of them, because like they didn't say anything about the hose and you mentioned the hose.
Yeah, like, or the slipper. Like, I feel like he's almost explaining the scene the way it is.
Yeah, he's like trying to be like, look over here.
Yeah, she must have tripped over that hose because her shoe was caught in that hose.
Yeah,
like it just like he's setting himself up.
Like if
to thinking that that's gonna help him, but it's actually doing the opposite.
It's totally doing the opposite, and it's like if Gabe went to work. And police came up and knocked on my door, I would be like, first of all, I don't trust you. Get off my property. Second of all, my first thought would not be, is Gabe dead? Actually, maybe now it would be, now that I said that out loud. But, oh, God, don't do that. Knock on wood.
Yeah. I think that my first reaction would be, like, is something wrong? I would not go to death. Right away.
Right.
I wonder, did they have family in the area?
I'm sure there was. Samira's family was in Madagascar. Adam had like a couple previous marriages and kids, but I don't know about like his parents or anything.
Okay.
But they were like well liked in the community, and they had a lot of friends. So they had like people, you know. So, but as Adam was being questioned, and also his questioning, like, is all on YouTube, like, videos of him being questioned. Ooh. Yeah.
Did you watch them?
I watched a little bit, but I just get, like,
I know.
But as he's being questioned, like, the medical examiner is doing their autopsy, because... This is one case. I think this is maybe the only case where, like, everything is done so quickly in terms of an investigation and pretty much correctly. It doesn't seem like there's, like, it's, like, that hard of an investigation, but...
Yeah, well, he made it kind of easy.
Oh, my God, I know. Seriously. So, well, like, sort of. I'll get into it.
Well, not that murder is easy, but I'm just saying, like, geez, he didn't... Like, if he at all was trying to convince them that this was an accident, or that the husband being the person that does it, which is usually the case, if he was trying to deter them from that idea, he really didn't do a good job. Like,
it's like
he was
the lady does leaving, protest he had too the much. Kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it just
and it's
seems...
just like it's the fact that he wants them to like look in one direction so bad is gonna be like you're gonna make them look in the other direction.
Yeah.
It's also just shut up, you know? Yeah.
Like, just keep your mouth.
Just
shut.
Keep your mouth shut. This is terrible. He should not like whatever. Anyways.
Yeah. I mean, I know that we're kind of like advocating for him to like, this is what you should have done when you commit murder, but
no.
I know. In the sense of like. You shouldn't. Yeah, like
if
he's
you're
doing
gonna
everything
be
wrong.
An idiot, like this is my thing. If you're gonna murder someone, and then like be this much of an idiot about it, just turn yourself in because it would be better for you in the long run.
Yeah, yeah, you.
That's
what
I mean.
And less energy.
But don't. Yeah, don't murder someone. How about that? Easier.
Yeah, number one.
Okay, so as they're doing the questioning, because he was kept for questioning for quite a while. They're doing the autopsy, and the autopsy
there
I know
we
how
go.
To talk, revealed four things. The first was that Samira's official cause of death was drowning. So, okay.
Okay.
That doesn't, like, prove one thing or the other.
Yeah.
The second was that she had blunt force trauma to the head. Now, they couldn't discover if that happened, like if she fell into the pool and hit her head on the bottom, or if she slipped and hit her head on a step and was unconscious and fell into the water. Like, there was no way to kind of know when that happened, but like that happened.
I would say that it would have to have had happened. Well, maybe not have to, but my idea would be like, obviously there was water in her lungs.
Yeah.
So like the head injury. Yeah, I guess they're right. So like if the head injury happened before she went into the pool,
and that would have caused her to
drown and knocked her out, that would have caused her to drown.
But if she was pushed into the pool and her head hit the bottom,
yeah,
like that's different, right?
Yeah.
Than if she slipped and fell, it was an accident or some, you know. Yeah. So it was just kind of like,
if she was dead before she went into the pool, then she wouldn't have had water in her lungs.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think it does indicate that she at least was unconscious, so wasn't in a lot of pain. Or like struggling. If there's a lot. If there's a little bit of a silver lining.
Yeah.
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 The third thing was that she had no drugs or alcohol in her system at all. So Adam's story was that she got drunk. He kept saying she had two bottles of champagne and got really angry and violent.
The night before?
Yeah, but like, I'll go through his timeline a little more. So like,
okay. Well, how long does alcohol stay in your system?
I'll go through his timeline a little bit later.
Okay,
to,
sorry.
To tell you.
Okay. All right, I'll shut up.
But so the third thing was that she had no alcohol in her system at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam's story was that she had had two bottles of champagne and got super violent and super angry.
Okay.
And then the last thing was that Samira's body was found around 11 a.m. and the medical examiner discovered that she had been in the water for maybe about an hour. So this already proves like Adam is lying about two things. The one is the champagne, because, you know, with his timeline that he said, it's she would have still had alcohol in her system. And the second was, well, I guess maybe not proved that he was lying, but the second was that he said that he got up early to take the kids from their mom's house. He said around 8 a.m. But if he was involved, he would have left around 10 a.m. if she was there only for an hour. So,
yeah, so
and I'm going to get into like his true like timeline a little bit later.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
So the investigators started looking into Adam and Samira's relationship to see if there was motive for him to kill her. And what they found was hundreds of court filings citing domestic violence, attempts at restraining orders, like calls to the police from their house, just like literally multiple times a month, a week, since they were married.
Wow.
And ultimately the divorce papers that Samira had filed. But even before they were married, Adam met Samira in 2006 while he was still married to his second wife. And so looking into his past too, they noticed that in those custody hearings with his second wife for their son, Adam, who like hated lawyers, represented himself and did such a bad job that the judge wrote a note on like the thing that said like Adam was not of sound mind.
Wow.
So not looking great. And then when Samira first moved to the US and they got married, she actually discovered that over the course of like their 3-year long distance relationship, Adam had fathered a child with yet another woman.
Oh Lord. He's so, got a gold star for everything.
Just like the worst, the worst kind of dude. Yeah. And when Samira found that out, she miscarried the baby that she was pregnant with because she was so heartbroken. You know, he like promised her. I don't know how you like come back from that, really.
Yeah.
But they ended up getting, you know, they stayed together. But Adam also filed domestic violence complaint against Samira, saying that she would, like, attack him with, like, statues and scratch him and stuff. Well, because they had, like, these, like, little, like, figurines up there. I don't know.
I mean, okay.
Yeah. So, after Samira filed the divorce papers, Adam got increasingly desperate, and he would, like, show up unannounced. They moved, moved into separate houses, so he got that rental house. She was staying in their house with the kids, but he would show up unannounced. He would send her, like, text messages trying to, like, you know, be sweet and lure her back, and then, like, change on a dime and get really nasty, and there's, like, records of all these text messages. Just, like, super abusive, gaslighting kind of behavior. And Samira started to tell everyone that if anything happened to her, look at Adam. And I know, even Samira's divorce attorney started carrying a gun because he was so afraid of Adam, which, like,
what,
that detail? So he's would, like, threaten the divorce attorney, which sounds exactly like season one of Dirty John. Let me just say. So, classic white male behavior. Not really, but. So, because of all this, the court had granted Samira full custody. So, Adam was not supposed to be around his kids unsupervised. So, that was the thing that when they found him packing at the car with the kids alone.
It's like, he just didn't think that he should mention that? Like, or that nobody was going to find that out? Wow, he's
okay, so,
not only an asshole, but he's an idiot.
He's a friggin' idiot. And he's like a doctor. He's like such a weird guy. Like, so weird. Like, a guy that thinks he's, like, so much smarter than everybody and just can, like, and maybe is used to, like, having what he says go. So isn't thinking that anybody's going to actually question him. Like, there's like, severely out of touch. Like, crazy. So the week leading up to Samira's death is very interesting. On February 7th, so Samira's body was found February 22nd. On February 7th, Samira said that Adam tried to run her off the road. Samira's assistant was following Samira with the kids in the assistant's car because they were used to doing that for protection. And she, the assistant said that, like, that was true, that Adam came and cornered her and tried to drive, you know, cause an accident and drive Samira off the road. But Adam was in the car with one of his buddies, and his friend said that Samira tried to run Adam off the road. So it's just like, either way, somebody did, like, a weird car chase with, like, their friends involved. Very weird, like, super, like, volatile, like, situation.
It's so almost February, like, it's 7th. Almost interesting that we're talking about, like, adults and not, like, teenagers right now.
It feels very much like kind of arrested development, teenage, like, abusive relationship kind of thing. And so, and I don't know, like, obviously Adam is, like, very abusive, but it also seems like Samira had toxic traits of her own. Not that that is
not an
excuse, or that she deserved anything, but, like, the,
like, the reports, only thing that both of them should have done or deserved was fucking therapy. You know, like, go to therapy, figure your shit out,
seriously. So February 9th, 2 days after, like, the, you know, traffic incident, Samira had 14 of Adam's cars towed from their house. And I was like, wait, did I read that right?
Number one, why does he have 14 cars?
But he has more than 14 because she kept some of them at the house.
Like, I mean, I shouldn't talk because my boyfriend has probably more than 14 cars, but
that's also, like, his job.
And he definitely doesn't drive all of them, you know? Like, and they're not at the house,
Yeah, and they were, like, you know, Porsches, Mustangs, like, the nice, like, flashy kind of cars. So she had them towed to, like, get back at him, or, you know, I'm not exactly sure, like, what it was, but she said
it sounds a lot like, you know, this was such a, like, this was going to be not only a rocky situation, but a very, very messy divorce. And, like, I could see her being like, well, if you're going to act this way, I'm going to, like, match that. Like, mm-hmm. it just seems like a very childish situation on both of their parts, but, you know.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Ooh.
So she had the cars towed, but, like, as it was happening, because it takes a while to tow 14 cars,
mm-hmm.
She was so nervous, and, like, her friend was there, her neighbor and friend was there with her, and she was, like, super panicked and really nervous and, like, actually very scared that Adam would come by before they were done, which would, like, cause a blow up.
Yeah.
He didn't, but, like, her state of mind was, like, cause for concern for this neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
But that same day, Frash began paying for one of his three girlfriends at the time.
Oh my God, where does this stupidity end?
I know. Like, obviously he has, like, a lot of addictions.
Yeah.
Because, like, for sure. This is very Florida.
Yeah.
Very
Florida. Yeah. I actually kind of forgot this was in Florida, and now it makes a lot of sense.
Now you're like, oh, yeah. So he started paying for one of his three girlfriends, an exotic dancer named Erica Tidwell, to stay at a hotel.
Of course she's an exotic dancer.
Well, yeah. Duh.
Oh, my God.
So he started paying for her to, like, be staying at this hotel. So I'm imagining it's, like, so he can come by anytime.
And, yeah.
You know, whatever. So I was a little like, what is happening? So Erica called Adam and left him a voicemail asking for, like, money to pay some bills or whatever. But somehow, Samira got the voicemail instead, or intercepted it. Which makes me feel like she, like, knew how to get into his voicemails or something. Like, so, a little, like...
Yeah.
I mean, she had definitely had cause to not trust him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was like, I don't know if I'd be able to, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, without, you need to know the passcode.
Yeah, without, like, actually taking the phone and listening to it, like, how else would you get... It's not like the old answering machines that are just, like, on the kitchen table or whatever.
Well, I know that you can call from another number. You can call a number and then, like, press something and then enter the voicemail in passcode and listen. But, like... I don't know my voicemail passcode.
Me either.
You know? And this is in 2014, so, like, I don't know. Somehow she did that.
Yeah.
And she got it. And so she knew Erica's number.
Okay.
And where she was, because Samira went to the hotel.
Oh, my God.
And she asked, like, the guests, like, where is Erica, essentially? Mm-hmm. And then I'm so mad because none of the articles went into what happened.
No!
I know! And I don't know if... I have an inkling about what happened, and I'll tell you, like, a little bit. But basically, like, tracing her steps from, like, other people's accounts.
Okay.
The last... Like, the people at the hotel lobby, you know, thing, front desk, placed Samira there.
Mm-hmm.
So she did go to the hotel. I just don't know where she went from there.
Okay.
That was February 9th. So then on February 14th, on Valentine's Day, Frash stopped paying for Erica's hotel room and took back the rental car that he had given her.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, so, like, he's cooling things off with Erica. So, like, maybe, you know, okay, I don't know. Maybe, like, or maybe Erica was like, I'm done. After her conversation with Samira or something.
Yeah.
But then the craziest thing is that on February 16th, not even a full week after they tried to run each other off the road, Adam, Samira, and the two kids went on vacation in Miami for a week. Like,
what?
This is just classic, like, you know. Yeah. I feel like they must have loved that, like, dramatic.
Yeah.
I
mean, they thrive off of the drama that they're.
Yeah.
That I don't want being together pulls out of both of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely don't want to undercut the fact that, like, this is an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And, like, definitely from Adam's side. Mm-hmm. So there is that.
Yeah, and there's also the manipulation, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, you know, let's just go away for a week. Let's just, like, take the kids and try to, like, fix this and figure things out. I'll stop paying for my mistress. I'll stop doing this. And I promise
we'll,
you know. Yeah. And it's easy for women in that situation to fall for that. Like, you know,
because you want that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, women, I saw something that it's, like, women whose, you know, partner hits them wants the partner but just wants the hitting to stop.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you want that relationship just without this terrible aspect of it.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, hope that that can happen.
Yeah.
So, I think that that's definitely an aspect here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, basically, they stay in Miami for 5 days and return to Tallahassee on February 21st.
Okay.
But while, between the 14th and the 16th, the court has a record of Samira filing a report for her custody argument to, like, get full final custody of the girls, saying that she discovered that a sex tape that Adam had made with one of his girlfriends. And then she went on vacation with him. So I think what happened is that, like, Erica said that to her or something. 6 months after Samira's death, they found her phone. The police found her phone. It took them 6 months to find her phone, which was in a diaper bag that Adam had packed as he was taking the girls away, and found that on February 21st, Samira had been Googling Erica Tidwell and had found Erica's husband's phone number and was texting him to inform him about Erica and Adam's affair.
Oh, my God.
I think that their final fight was her confronting him about this. I don't know why she waited, though.
Yeah.
You know? Or maybe it wasn't that she waited. Maybe something on Adam's end came up.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not sure. But, like, oh, God. And Samira died in the early morning of February 22nd.
Jesus.
So that sounds like enough to charge Adam, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Absolutely.
Outright.
And there's not only is there enough to charge him, but there's so many holes that it's like,
well,
even the holes and the stuff that's missing is enough.
That's the thing, though, is that it's not actually enough to charge Adam because it's all circumstantial.
Don't tell me he gets away with this shit.
There is nothing to place him at the scene of the crime. He said, like, it's his house. He said he was there. He said he left 2 hours earlier, and there's nothing to say that he didn't do that. There was nothing that said it was premeditated. Like, all it proves is that he's shitty.
Okay,
so
this whole time I've been thinking that this guy is, like, the biggest idiot in the world.
Right.
But now I'm thinking that this was strategically planned. Like, this whole trip, this whole... Like, because then it proves that, like, hey, we were actually trying to pull things together. Because
his whole thing is, like, we weren't getting a divorce. We were getting back together, and we were recommitting, and,
like,
we were
happy.
Like,
why would I kill her? Why would I kill her? Oh, my God. That is the most infuriating thing.
Right. But there was one thing that he didn't account for.
Okay.
Because in his head, the story is, we're reconciling. We're getting back together. We love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in his mind, negates the custody agreement. But in the court, does not. So, when the police found him, they found him unsupervised with his two daughters.
Yeah.
So, they were able to arrest him for child custody charges.
Okay.
And, like, keep him as they're doing this investigation.
Yeah, okay.
So they got creative and, like, got him, you know, to stay for a little bit while, but it only stuck for a few weeks
mm-hmm.
because they still didn't have enough to charge him.
Wow.
So he was released as part of a pretrial agreement, and that was only, like, the trial for the custody charges, not murder.
Okay.
But then...
Oh, no.
Remember how this is in Florida?
Yeah.
After he was released, he was sent back to jail because it turns out, while this was going on, he also was under federal investigation for Medicare fraud.
What?
And he went back to jail because the feds found guns in his doctor's office, which is like a violation of something.
Oh my god.
So it's like, he must not have known he was under investigation because it doesn't have to be, you know, disclosed to you.
Yeah.
But like, you murder your wife while you're under federal investigation for you.
Yeah.
This is a guy who might be smart, but cannot see a full picture.
No.
And is so narcissistic.
Yeah.
Cannot.
Very narrow-minded. He only sees that one goal and destination.
Right.
And doesn't give a shit about
people that
the personal.
Yeah, and people that do, like, sort of, like, blue-collar fraud like mm-hmm. that, or white-collar, whatever.
Is it white? I think it's white-collar.
White-collar fraud?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't wear collars.
Blue, white, purple, pink. Who gives a shit?
But if you're participating in fraud,
yeah.
You, think you're smart enough to scam the system, and, B, think you're smart enough that nobody's going to catch you.
Yeah.
So it's like he has that mentality already, and it just is like, it's so fucking messy.
Wow.
So of course he thinks he's going to get away with it, and whatever he says goes. So
yeah.
It's just the same thing.
Yeah.
So so basically he's brought back to jail, and this is like June, July-ish now.
Okay.
Then he's a doctor in Florida, and uh-huh. he's friends with a lot of doctors. So in July of 2014, he has one of his buddies declare that he's mentally incompetent to assist in his defense because of untreated bipolar disorder.
Oh my god.
So now he thinks, he's like, great, I'm gonna get out on sanity.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
It's
gonna be great.
They're so stupid that they won't even know. Like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But literally all that did was they were like, okay, so if that's the case, you stay in jail and you take bipolar medication for 6 months and we're just going to pause your trial.
Yeah.
So basically all he did was, like, give himself 6 months in jail and, like, also have to medicate himself. Like, he thought it was his get out of jail free card, but it just extended the amount of time he was going to have to be in there.
Yeah.
It's like such a fucking
idiot. It's almost like the guys that killed Ramona Moore that thought that by, like, doing a mistrial.
Flooding the basement.
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
Oh, yeah. The mistrial thing,
they're like, good. We're good. We're straight, right? We're straight. We don't have to do this shit again. And they're like, no, you do have to do it again. And you have to sit in jail for this amount of time, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's like, I think, it's like, once you commit some of these crimes or, like, you commit murder or whatever the case is, you literally lose all common sense. Because you're like, well, I can get away with this because I got away with the murder part for a while. It's so ridiculous.
Just, he didn't even get away with it for a while. It was the same day they took him in.
Yeah.
You know?
he got away with it for 15 minutes.
We know it's you.
Oh my god. It's literally like he's hiding in plain sight and we're like, dude, we can fucking see you. It's you.
I know. It's like a toddler closing their eyes and
thinks
that you can't see them if they can't see you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
Wow.
So after he has been, like, medicated for bipolar disorder and now is mentally competent, prosecutors are like, okay, we have enough that we can charge him with second degree murder, which is, like, you know, not enough, but that would be, like, if he pushed her and she fell and hit her head and died, that second degree murder, you know,
where, like, it could have been an accident.
Yeah.
It's like one step above manslaughter.
Yes. But, they want to charge him with second degree murder because they think that their evidence is enough to keep him in jail while they're still building the case for first degree murder. But the court denied this, citing lack of evidence. So on October 30th, he got out of jail again. God. Yeah. So because he's so smart, that same day, he wrote an open letter to, quote, the people of Tallahassee.
Oh, my God. That is the most narcissistic move. I'm speechless. No.
I'm just like, and again, shut
up. Yeah, just shut the fuck up. Just shut up. Just shut your mouth. You already got away with it.
Shut your face.
Just shut up. Just go. Just shut up. Go home. Like, what is wrong with people?
So, okay. I pulled, it's not a long letter. It's like 2 pages, but I pulled,
some,
I'll read you some of my faves, some of my gems.
All right.
I cannot begin to tell honest, God-fearing persons the daily horrors of an overcrowded jail with poor food, constant noise, frequent fights, and dozens of mentally ill and drug-addled inmates always trying to pick a fight with you over the smallest of things. It is a nightmare.
Aww.
Like,
I'm so sorry you had to deal with that.
Yeah, are we supposed to feel bad for you that you put yourself in this situation? Like,
I bet you death is that? Worse.
Yeah, do we want to talk about overcrowding of jails? Because we could talk about that.
Yeah.
Is that what this is? You're saying you should get out of jail because you're uncomfortable?
Oh.
Like, sir, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh my God.
And then this next one is like particularly like Trumpian, but he's going to be in front of a grand jury the following week. And he said, when I see the grand jury next week, I want to ask them questions before they are tempted to be herded like sheep into voting an indictment of an innocent man.
Oh,
it's like, okay. Herded like sheep by like lawyers who built a case against you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
And the evidence is kind of clear.
But then his... And I'm like, I don't know if he can address a grand jury. I don't actually know if he can do that or not. But anyways, his list of questions, I'm like...
Yeah.
Just, okay. First is, what evidence do you have that places me in the pool area of my home at the time of death of my wife? And it's like, okay,
yeah,
what we just talked about that. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. But also, why the fuck would anyone tell you that? That's their fucking case.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, you're not entitled to this information.
Yeah. And then they keep getting, like, more and more, like, he's like, I'm going to ask these people these questions. But I'm like, are you just trying to see what they know so you can make your defense?
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
like...
It if seems like he's doing exactly side, what he did in the beginning when he was like, well, it's the hose. That hose was there.
Yeah.
So that must be how she got it. And it's just like, wait, we didn't even mention that. Like, he's trying to get exactly one step ahead of them. He thinks he's smarter than them.
Yes. Here's the next question is, what was the specific time of death? I've had medical training, and I know an autopsy can be very time specific. Okay. Congratulations.
Yeah. Like, no shit, Sherlock.
All right. What evidence do you have suggesting homicide versus an accident? In light of the fact that my wife had consumed much champagne late the night before and into the early hours of the morning as she and I celebrated our renewed commitment to our marriage? I'm like, okay, well, that part was new.
Yeah.
That you're celebrating your recommitment to your marriage because you said before that she was angry.
Yeah.
So, like, even in this open letter, he's, like, changing his fucking story.
Yeah. And first of all, I had a lot of wine last night, but I'm not now, even this morning at 11 o'clock this morning, I was like, oh, I feel shitty because I drank too much. But I'm not, like, still drunk where I'm going to, like, trip and fall into, like, and like accidentally kill myself or whatever. Like, that's not having a lot of alcohol the night before doesn't mean that you're still drunk the next day.
Yeah.
Like,
his... But, well, and then his next, next question is, what was my late wife's blood alcohol and or drug content at the time of death slash autopsy?
Zero.
Like, yeah. What, but also, like, and then he's like, what evidence do you have that I have any reason to kill my wife? And I'm like, okay, that one, a lot.
Yeah, we, actually, how much time do you have, sir?
Yeah. Yeah. We can go into it.
Yeah.
And then the last one is, did your investigators learn of any involvement of my wife with persons of questionable background during the last 3 to 6 months of her life? And if so, if this was a murder, would any of them have a motive to kill? And you're like, it's one thing to be like, you guys never even looked at anybody else. Mm-hmm. It's an, like, but this is like so...
Yeah.
Crazily, like, the wording is crazy. Mm-hmm. The open letter to people of Tallahassee and then listing these as questions for that he's telling the people of Tallahassee he's going to ask a grand jury. Like, it's just nuts.
It's somebody he's grasping at straws to try to, you know,
but it's like,
claim his innocence, which is just like, it's bullshit.
What does an open letter do in this case? You know, like, he says,
he's,
quote,
it's attention grabbing. He wants the attention. Yes. Even if the attention and gives him is negative, he's a toddler. He's a toddler that, like, just, it doesn't matter. As long as he's getting attention, positive or negative, he's happy. He's content with that. And that's what this letter is. It's all about him. It has nothing to do with his wife. It's all about him.
Yeah. He says, I have lost my freedom, and my dear clients in my Thomasville podiatry office have lost their physician over innuendos and half-truths at best. And it's like, he did say, like my wife lost her life and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if I was at the point, like, if he's in love and they're reconciling, this whole open letter should be about how much you're grieving and how horrible you feel that your wife died.
Yeah.
And it should be about proving your love to her.
Yeah. And it should be about, like,
I can out-lawyer the lawyers.
Yeah. It's like, he doesn't want the sympathy because he doesn't actually feel bad about what happened to his wife. It's all about exonerating himself and getting himself off the hook.
Exactly.
So it doesn't have anything to do with that. So why would he of course he's going to throw that little blurb in there because he has to. But it does. Yeah. It's not actually how he feels. I don't think he has feelings at all.
No. So, so insane.
Yeah.
So a week later, the grand jury decided that they had enough evidence to charge him with first degree murder, and he was arrested again.
Oh, God.
So then finally, he's on trial in 2017, 3 years after the murder. And it was, if he wasn't so crazy, all of these articles are saying, like, it was a kind of a loose case because it was not, like, beyond a shadow of a doubt, like, beyond reasonable doubt. It was, like, lots of circumstantial evidence. Like, there could have, if he was a believable guy and he said he left at 8 a.m., there could have been somebody else that came at 10 a.m. and pushed her in. There, she could have, like, except for the autopsy, she could have still been drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it was a loose case.
Yeah.
But Adam was so unlikable and changed his story on the stand, like, from one question to another, that it was just like nobody believed this guy.
Yeah.
So what he was saying was, like, the day he, every time it started out the same, mm-hmm. where he would say, like, the day started out fine. They went looking for a dog groomer because they had just gotten back from Miami. They weren't looking for a dog groomer. They got an oil change. They went out to lunch with their girls. But after that, his story kept changing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the sort of last... And it was, like, kind of, like... The little details of how it changed are sort of, like, insignificant. But it's the fact that he kept changing the story that was, like, you know... questionable. But basically, he was said at once that, like, Samira got angry about a missing purse, so they drove to his office and she found, like, a bag of lingerie that was for somebody else.
Wow.
The other one was that she, you know, f- found some, it's all kind of like found something confronted him about it. But like what he found and who it was for, that's what he was cagey about.
Okay.
And he says that she was still angry when they got back to the house at 11 p.m. So I'm like, that's a huge chunk of the day that's missing from like going to lunch and then 11 p.m. And like they were out of the house with the girls until 11 and the girls are toddlers.
Yeah.
Like, he said he wouldn't stay the night with her because she was still angry. But then he said she had calmed down, so he was going to stay, and they put the girls to bed. And then he said that they drank two bottles of champagne, but that she wasn't belligerent. But before, in questioning, he had said she was belligerent.
And he said that she drank two bottles of champagne, not that they shared two bottles of champagne.
Right.
God.
So he also said here that she asked him to take the girls the next day so that she could have the day off, and like even though she rarely did that, he was happy to do it. He bullshit. Also made sure bullshit. To say no,
there's no way
this is all bullshit.
Why would she want full custody from you and make sure that you're not with the kids unsupervised and then be like, I need a mommy's day, and then send her two toddlers off with you? Absolutely not.
No. And then he makes sure to say that they had sex in the living room and went to bed at 2 a.m but that 2 hours later, she was awake and drinking again and confronting him about Erica. So this is where it's like he's saying at 4 a.m. she's getting drunk again and yelling and everything. So 4 to, you know, she died at 10 a.m., six hours. Like, I don't know. You'd have to be, like, really drunk. I feel like two bottles of champagne and you finish drinking at 2 a.m. to still have alcohol in your blood at 10 a.m.?
I don't think
so. But obviously not. Like, so it's just poking more holes in his story.
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously, and even this timeline that he's saying on the stand, like, that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So even his story doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Still. So he says that he got up at 8 a.m. and loaded up the car and took the girl. But before he left, he went out to the pool with the pool skimmer and, like, got leaves out of the pool. And that's when he noticed the hose was trailing along and thought, oh, I'm worried she's so drunk and belligerent she'll trip on that and fall into the pool.
So he didn't move it.
Yeah, no, according to him.
So, no. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I saw this hose and I was afraid she was going to trip on it and fall in the pool.
But I
just left it there because that's what you do when you're so concerned about someone.
Yeah.
He's so full of shit.
This is like almost like he heard the phrase, like, the best lie is closest to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in this case, you just say you didn't notice the hose.
Yeah.
Not that you, like, placed her shoe under it and, like, draped the hose over it to make it look like she fell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Wow.
So there's also testimony from his friends and other people that, like, he called before 11 a.m., like, you know, sort of between 10 and 11, he called multiple people saying that Samira had confronted him about a sex tape he made with Erica, and he claimed that Erica had sold it to Samira for $4,000.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, maybe that's what that conversation at the hotel was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That could be true.
Yeah. And but this it's Erica also like, girl seems like she was very money motivated, so
she was an opportunist for sure. I looked her up and she had been arrested in some, I didn't look too much into it, but she was arrested for like a fatal robbery gone wrong.
Oh.
So, whoop. But
bad shit follows that girl.
I know. But, like, I don't think she had anything to do with
it. Oh, no. I just feel like she seems to be involved in stories that, or cases in which somebody dies. So,
yeah, really. Yeah. That's true. But it's interesting to me that it's, like, even if Samira did buy the sex tape from Erica, it was still before they went on vacation. She still, like, decided to wait to confront him about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. And also interesting that between 10 and 11 a.m., Adam is calling a bunch of people to give Samira motivation for this accident, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to, like, plant things and cover his steps. Because the other thing is that the police haven't ever found a sex tape.
Huh.
So it's like, if she paid for it, where is it?
Yeah.
You know?
Hmm. That's interesting.
So the other thing about the autopsy and, like, the medical exam of her body is that, you know, again, she didn't have any alcohol in her system, so the idea that she was so drunk and stumbling around and tripped and fell, like, nope.
Yeah.
She wasn't drunk at all.
Yeah.
There was DNA found on her body. It didn't match Gerald, the guy that found her.
Okay.
It didn't match Erica, the, you know, like, going through, like, the other people that, like, maybe they
mm-hmm.
were involved. It also didn't match Adam.
Ooh.
So I'm like, uh-oh. Is there, this is when my conspiracy theory goes,
yeah,
comes into effect, but it's like, what if Adam is telling the truth and there was another person?
Ugh.
I don't know.
I just spent but this like, whole time they didn't trying ever... to hate him.
I mean, I hate no, him. You can still hate him.
Yeah.
He probably did it. Like, I think he did it.
Yeah.
But there's another little element here, too, but... A big part of why this murder case was difficult to land
mm-hmm.
was because there was no, like, murder weapon, and she had blunt force trauma to the head, and there was nothing, like, outside of the pool that was like, oh, this is, like, where she hit her head.
Yeah.
So, the police, nobody could present a murder weapon, but they did have a witness sit on the stand and testify that Frash had asked him to get rid of the golf clubs in the garage because Frash said that the police never mentioned anything about them, so he knew he could still get, like, he knew they were probably still in the garage. But he told this guy to not throw them away or sell them, but to throw them in a lake or a river.
What?
So I'm like, okay, so he hit her with a golf club.
Yeah. Because why else would he need to get rid of them
why else
in
would
that
you
way?
Do it like that way, yeah. Right. But then what I was thinking was maybe he tried to send somebody to do that, to hit her with a golf club
mm-hmm.
and kill her, you know? So maybe he didn't do it, but he ordered it done.
Yeah. I mean, he has the money to make her.
Exactly.
Or, like, he has the money and has, like, the plausible deniability thing going on too.
Yeah. And his whole, like, thing about, like, is she dead? Did she trip on the hose? Like, basically, maybe he wasn't trying to get the police to go down that road, but trying to get them to confirm whether or not it went to plan with this other person.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if he planned it out a lot with whoever he hired, then that would make sense why he was like, did that happen? Did that happen?
Yeah.
I don't know. That was never really explored. Nobody ever really looked at anybody but Adam. And even if that was the case, he's still guilty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's still
so
involved.
Who cares?
It would be interesting to find out eventually that, like, it was like a hitman kind of thing. And that's where that other DNA came from.
Yeah.
And...
But that also could be, like... She was wearing a robe, and if they had a housekeeper that, like, folded the robe and, like, left a hair on it, you know?
Yeah,
you know?
True. Yeah, you're
like,
right.
I don't know. I don't know in what, like, I don't know if the DNA was under her fingernails. It never specified, like, what kind of DNA they found on her.
Yeah.
She was also in the water, so I don't know
how
that affects it. Like, and you know, I don't know. There's a lot that
there's a lot
not
to be
fully
explored
reported.
There, yeah.
Right. Wow. So... Yeah, despite all of that sort of, like, the circumstantial evidence and actually not being able to place Adam at the scene, like, there's a lot that is, like, you know, you're like, maybe.
Yeah. Like, you're kind of not sure which side to be on. And, I mean, there's a clear side that you want to be on. You want him to suffer because whether he killed her or not, he also abused her and obviously has some serious issues. So,
yes,
you know. It's hard, but it's definitely easier to want him to be the one that did it and go down for it, you know?
And it's, like, simpler and straightforward, and you get, like, a real answer. And, mm-hmm. like, in terms of, like, learning about cases, when there's, like, a real answer, like, it's easier to swallow, and it makes more sense of the world, and it's less scary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think the jurors kind of agreed with that, because it only took them 90 minutes to come back with a guilty verdict.
Yeah, I love it. And I think that's our thing when, like, it's, like, under a couple hours or under a day. We're like, all right, so
let's go get brunch.
Yeah. I feel like there's a really great brunch place down the road. Does anybody want some avocado toast?
Yeah. Let's serve justice and mimosas.
Yeah. Great. So at least they find him guilty. That's awesome. Yeah.
They found him guilty. He was sentenced to life in jail.
Okay.
Recently, he had an appeal flat out denied. He likes to give interviews about how he's innocent. He's
he's a candid motherfucker.
Worst.
Isn't he?
Yeah. So he's in jail. I don't know where the two little girls are. I didn't really. Yeah. They're like maybe 9 and 8 right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know where they are. Wow. I don't know where Adam's 4 other kids are, because he had 6 kids.
Jesus.
You know, but whatever. Yeah. I know his oldest daughter is a nurse, and she said that he was horrible and had a very violent temper.
Okay.
But as I was researching this, I actually found Samira's obituary online, and it was really nice, and, you know, saying she's survived by her 2 children and her stepchildren. It called her a retired supermodel, which I thought was a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, well, they really love her, whoever wrote this.
Yeah.
And then I scrolled down to the bottom, and it was written by Adam Frasch.
Oh, no. But he's a psychopath. Creepy.
I know.
I mean, that is right on target with who he is, to write something so beautiful about somebody he just murdered. I think.
Yeah.
I think that's so right creepy. On target for someone like him, you know, with that mindset. So.
Yeah.
It's disturbing, but it's kind of, you know.
Yeah. So, the moral of this case is, first of all, Samira, you deserve better in every sense of the word. You were punished for standing up for yourself, for being ambitious, and for being self-confident and going for what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was super brave. She immigrated twice. She was pursuing her dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And she was murdered for it, you know?
Yeah.
In just a really terrible way, because she got involved with a terrible guy. And I hope that her kids are doing okay, and that they find some sort of peace with losing both their parents from this. I don't know how you do that, but I hope that they're okay. This week's episode was written and edited by me, Devin Balsamo-Gillis, with music by Holly Amber Church, and social media by Kelsey Gruenberg.
For pictures and sources, please follow us on Instagram at onthearbehalf_pod and on Twitter at onthearbehalf_.
Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen.
On Their Behalf, thank you for listening.